Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
Books. Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gutenberg? It's a rhetorical question, sir. But where would we be without books?
From KCRW.com and KCRW, I'm Michael Silverblatt. And this is Bookworm. All sorts of people tell me that they have special ways of knowing whether or not I like the book I'm talking about. You don't have to wonder today. Today I have as my guest Karl Ove Knausgård. He is the author of a 6-volume novel titled My Struggle. It has been published here in hardcover by a magnificent small press called Archipelago and is being published in paperback by Farrar, Straus & Giroux. So far, the first 3 volumes have appeared. Most recently, My Struggle, Book 3, which is Boyhood. And the hero, who is also named Karl Ove, has been married and seen his father die, and now we're seeing him as a child at age 6. He is coming by bus with his parents to a place called an estate. Now, we don't have this word in English. What is an estate? Is it like a housing project?
Yeah, I guess so. There was a lot of new buildings built at a place where there were no buildings before in the 70s, and families from all over the country moved there. So it's a lot of new, no relations to the place.
Yes, everything is new. It's like the beginning of the educational system in America. The freeway systems are coming into play where neighborhoods had once been. And it's a very economically based place, based on class. Karl Ove's father is a teacher. His mother is a nurse's aide, a psychiatric nurse's aide. He has a brother. What is the brother's name?
He's called Yngve.
You would have to teach me how to say that. Say it one more time.
Yngve.
He's such a magnificent character in the book. And what we're watching is something I have to say I haven't watched in a long time. I know that my colleagues are being very, very sophisticated about this book. And yet I feel the way I felt when I read a book that my mother loved. She gave it to me. It was called A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. I grew up in Flatbush, and it was about children, neighborhoods, rape, the difficulty of growing up. And I feel as if, although I've read Dickens to Dostoevsky when I was a boy, and then in college I was introduced from John Barth to Derrida to deconstruction, that these volumes called My Struggle are books that are there to tell you what it feels like to be alive. And that in order to tell you this, they have to be very specific. I don't know what it's like to grow up in Norway, but now I do. But more important, I know what the universal feeling of growing up is.
Yeah.
And how did you trust yourself to achieve universality?
That's a good question, because it's very relevant to the whole process of writing this, because that's what's difficult, you know. If you are a writer and if you have ambitions, you want to do something meaningful, you want to do something great, a novel that a lot of people will relate to and that's doing something to the people. At the same time, you are just, you know, at least I am just an ordinary man living an ordinary life. And one of my problems before writing this was that I couldn't find any value, any meaning in my life, and in my life felt worthless in a way. It's like very, very little and not worth anything, basically. And I don't know, but at one point those two levels, you know, merged. And I'll say, okay, I mean, I've always thought that literature should be about life. I mean, what else could it be about? But I have, you know, have the same turn as you with deconstruction and French philosophy, and which I find amazing and been very important for me. But still, you know, there is a bridge to the life or something. I want something else in my writing. And then I started to write this project, this book, and I found it difficult all the time to trust. The question I kept asking myself is, who are you? Why write about yourself? What this is of no importance whatsoever. But then I had some friends who read it, and especially one friend, and my editor was saying, you have to do it, you know, you have to go there, please continue. Because I wanted to quit every day, because it is kind of embarrassing, or it's difficult. But I never thought of universality in any way, never. That's not it at all. I thought the opposite. This is too little.
Do you feel now that it has achieved something? When people tell you they feel this, do you see what they mean?
Yeah, I do, you know, theoretically. I know this theoretically, but I can't, you know, get a hold on it. Emotionally, that's impossible. But what I would be interested in when you read these books is, you know, basically ask you, is it different growing up on this island that I've, you know, described from your own upbringing? Or what's, you know, and in what ways? And what is universal?
So far, having read 3 volumes, now these books range from around 400 pages to 600 pages, and there will be 6 of them. And reading them, like writing them, because I think you wrote them very close together. You don't seem to have taken a break between one and another.
No, it's just one process.
You pushed on and on. It's like an Olympic event. And I think reading them is like an Olympic event, too. There's something strange. You can't stop reading. And you can't stop reading because the pulse of identification is there. I felt that I understood Karl Ove Knausgård, both the character in the book and the writer of the book, in a way that I haven't understood another person since I was reading Dostoevsky, that the feeling of great passion, great terror, and ordinary life were all engaged in this book. But I think that while the world, all over the world, has become tragically more like America, America has become more like Norway. If you were to talk to young people here, any one young person on the street, he or she would say, I fear my life is worthless. I fear my life means nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to restore significance to my life.
Mm.
And that, I would say, is one of the things. This is something beyond existentialism, beyond Camus' The Stranger. This is the tragic sadness of ordinary life.
Yeah. Do you think that's connected to our times, or do you think it's...
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I think that ideas about, oh, you know, if I don't let you say, do you think this is connected to our times?
I think certainly my grandparents never felt that way, I'm sure. But they had, you know, they have had to work and to do all these things just to survive, to manage to live. I mean, it's too much to do to worry about these things. It's different now. But I don't know. For me, my strategy is just to, you know, go and think what I try to describe what's in my life and my connection to contemporary life and describe it in details, hoping that it will be relevant, hoping that I could catch something. But I do not know those kind of general abstract notions about contemporary life whatsoever.
I'm talking to Karl Ove Knausgård, particularly about the third volume of his six-volume work, My Struggle. The third volume has just appeared in English, which is about childhood. I remember that when I was in fourth grade, my teacher, who was extraordinary, she was someone who talked to us about literature far beyond our age range. So one day she would mention Carol Chopik's R.U.R., and I remember one day she talked to us about Peer Gynt. Mm. And she told us about the trolls. Mm. And because there were troll dolls around, very popular then, they had long blue and pink and white hair, and they were naked, their belly buttons protruded. I loved them, and I was thought to be very girlish to want one. But I read Peer Gynt because it had trolls. Mm. But what I found instead was the Boyg, which seems to be a version of the Void. And in it, when Peer Gynt, this is the great play by Ibsen, it's before Ibsen becomes a realist, he's still a poetic writer of life quest plays. And what the Boyg is the void, and what Peer Gynt meets in the void is death in life. And when I read that phrase, death in life, that's what I started to feel like every day at school. Death in life. Every day at home, death in life. When will I start to live? And this book, My Struggle, seems to be a struggle to achieve the feeling of life, a full-blooded feeling. Yeah. Yes?
Yes, that's very much so for me. I mean, one of the seventh death sin is, you know, not appreciating life. It's not, and I felt when I started this book that I really did live a kind of inauthentic life, knowing it's there, I should appreciate it, but I just didn't. Meaning I had nothing to lose, meaning I could, you know, just leave everything behind, or I could commit suicide, or I could try this, you know, and write about it. So it's really is a search for meaning, which basically is a search for life. And I think has something to do with, I'm trying to evoke a kind of a presence in the book, which is as rich as possible, you know, in the situations. And I feel, for me, that's my problem. I am never present, and my presence is never rich. I'm always somewhere else, you know. And we are surrounded by things or events that go take place another place, you know. We see images and pictures and movies and news and read papers, and everything is going on somewhere else. And this kind of virtual life that becomes more and more taking more and more place in our lives, I wanted kind of to to fight that back. But the irony of this is, of course, I do it in a novel, which is, you know, virtual and not real.
So this book has a kind of, what, fugal or musical structure? Themes recur in it. It is, again, not what people are saying. People are insisting that it is itself banal. Life is banal. This novel is interested in the greatness of structure and repeated revelation, growing significance, that it's art that we turn to find.
Yeah, I can see that things, you know, occur again and again in the book. And I can see that there is a kind of a rhythm to it. But it's also like this is not planned at all.
Okay, but I want to say, you know, I've been talking to writers for 25 years, and all of them say, I didn't intend it. I think the space of writing a novel brings an unconscious, inevitable,
yeah,
repetitive structure.
Yeah.
You don't have to be conscious of it,
no,
for it to be there.
No.
And neither the writer nor the reader may see this. I'm reading like a maniac, and so I tend to, you know, when you read ferociously, you tend to gasp,
yeah,
at meaning. It may not have been there intentionally, but the power and the eloquence and the rhythm puts it there.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the only way I could write, is without knowing where it's leading, without knowing what's coming. But that's should really be impossible when you consider that I write about my own life, because I know what's happened to me, and this should just be a recollection of a retelling of stories, but it isn't. It is this exactly the same process. Something opens up, you go there. I don't know what's coming next, but it has a lot to do with rhythm. That's basically the most important thing for me, I think, in the writing. And if there is a problem, I could just trust, if I sleep, wake up in the morning, I can continue. And it went on that for 3 years. And that's the reason for me to write. That's it's a kind of a constant exploration of something. And in writing makes it possible to take myself to places I haven't been before, exactly as it is in reading, you know. And I think that has to do with, if you read a lot, which I have, you know a lot of those kind of structures and mechanism. I mean, that's, you have just internalized it, you know. And writing yourself is like you're just throwing in what you have into this ocean, and then it comes something back that is, you know, transformed into, it's not me, it's not mine, but it's not others. I mean, it's a kind of a in-between thing.
I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening to Bookworm from KCRW. I'm talking with Karl Ove Knausgård about his book, My Struggle, Book 3, Boyhood. We'll continue after this short break.
If you're listening to Bookworm, chances are you're a big reader. Connect with other book lovers. Join our virtual book club on Facebook. Go to kcrw.com/bookworm for more info. Thanks.
I'm Michael Silverblatt, this is Bookworm, and I'm talking with Karl Ove Knausgård about his new book, My Struggle, Book 3, Boyhood, the latest in a series. Book 3 is a return to childhood through the author's incredible memory and sensory detail. Now, this is what I found myself thinking and enjoying. When I was young and I read novels, the novels, whether they involved heroes or villains, anti-heroes, they made life more thrilling. I wanted always to stay in bed or sit in a chair and be reading. I preferred it to life. And I think that one of the things I found in my struggle is the struggle between writing and life. In writing anything, including the folding of baby diapers, can become heroic in its repetition. In life, a baby diaper is a baby diaper.
Yeah.
And what I found was that you had restored my faith in the novel to make life important. Does this surprise you, dismay you, please you, flatter you? Do you want to hit me?
No, it pleases me, of course, because that was one of the things I didn't think that, but I think this was something in me that wanted to do this. But it also surprised me a lot. Because it shouldn't be possible. It should be impossible, I think. Because one of the problems or the interesting thing with realism is if you kind of, how much you can include in it, I mean, in a present situation without losing, dissolving the form, you know. It's like Joyce had, you know, wrote Ulysses, that's one day. But there's a lot of strategies to keep that day interesting. But what if you just have the same tone, the same voice, the same narration, and it basically is nothing else than naming things, what's happening, no plot, no dramatic curves, no nothing. I mean, there is a limit to what's possible to do.
Yes, there's no plot, but there definitely is rhythm between event, meditation,
revelation
about event after years of allowing it to stew. It really, I think also it puts side by side the many different times in which we find ourselves living.
Yeah.
What time feels like when our hearts are speeding? What time feels like when we're afraid and Father's going to come home and beat us?
Yeah.
What time feels like when a whole yawning afternoon is there and there are no friends to play with and no place to go? All these different times are evoked. And I remembered that terrible feeling, the most terrible of all. Will it be day after day after day of this? What is there to wait for? What is there to look forward to? And that is one of the feelings of childhood that this book addresses.
Yeah.
What was your experience of reading as a child? You mention Moby Dick and Hamlet, and I get the feeling that you absolutely know the difference between great literature and everyday stuff that gains temporary popularity. But what were the books that brought you to life?
I was kind of reading very, very much, constantly reading. I mean, I could read everything, and I didn't mind. I mean, I didn't think of quality at that time at all. But then I kind of early started to read the books in my parents' shelves. So I think I read Stendhal when I was at a very young age, and all the great French novels. And I didn't think they were different from the books for youths and children. I didn't get the difference. I remember I even read a Tolstoy biography about him when I was kind of 13 or something, 12, 13. It was just reading. I wanted, you know. And then I was reading all kind of thrillers and crime stories when I was in my teens. And then I started to read more serious stuff. But I still was looking for the same, you know, thing where you just disappear for the world and for yourself. And I still look for that when I'm reading. But the one important book for me, I remember it very well. It was Ursula K. Le Guin. She wrote this Earthsea Trilogy.
Ursula Le Guin.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I read this, I think I was 10, 12, something like that. I must have been 10. My mother gave the book to me. And it was, you know, it still is a very important book for me. I'm reading it now, and I see this is good.
Oh, it's very absolutely simple, very good. She's been on the show, and you know that she was, for many whose parents told them no science fiction. Ursula Le Guin, her parents were anthropologists. She wrote more than science fiction. She wrote life stories. She wrote stories of developing revelation, mythic stories in which it was possible to attain, yes, in her case, not Harry Potter, but in her case, real wizardhood, which was full consciousness. Yeah.
It's a very wise book, and it did go straight to my heart and had very much to do about the way I thought of myself or what I wanted when I was 10. I remember it very well, how that book struck me. And that's quality. I mean, that's a quality book, you know? And other books didn't do that, didn't become that important. But it's, and now I'm reading for my own children. And I'm reading at the moment, you know, The House on the Prairie.
The Little House on
Little
the Prairie.
Little House on the Prairie. Uh-huh. And that's amazing because it's so slow. Nothing is really happening. It could be many pages just about food or you know, customs, what they are doing. My daughter, she loves it. She loves that it's so slow. I think she found peace there. You could just go on forever reading about those kind of small details. And well, that's fantastic, I think.
We're going to go on talking about this next week. I've been talking with Carl Ove Knausgård, author of My Struggle, Book 3, Boyhood, published by Archipelago Books. Thank you, Carl, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. You can comment on today's show or read an excerpt from My Struggle, Book 3, Boyhood, at kcrw.com/bookworm. Download the podcast from kcrw.com or from iTunes. You can also listen on demand with KCRW's smartphone apps. My co-producer is Connie Alvarez. Alan Howard is sitting in for her while she's on vacation as co-producer. The technical director is Mario Diaz. Special thanks to Jane Parshall, my assistant. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcast the most recent ones at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mayle of Sparks.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm when I continue my conversation with Carl Ove Knausgård, author of the autobiographical series My Struggle,